Watch out, your shot. She get real. What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas. Broadcasting live, as always, from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. I'm in here with my co-host, my guy, been with me since day one, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreader? Stay hardy this morning.
Man, I'm excited. You know, we had a fun game of football last night, of course, with the college football playoffs. For me, that was the most entertaining game that they had put forth so far. Sorry, the Arizona State, that game was fun too. But it was nice to see it finally be competitive, and I'm sure we're going to get plenty of takes about James Franklin and Drew Aller after that game. And you know, I always like to temper expectations, but I hate to say it, but I think a lot of these criticisms for both men are going to be deserved. Especially Franklin. You know, Aller's a young kid, first time on the stage, but Franklin's consistently come up short in these big games, and there's a lot of decisions that he made that we will be able to point to as mistakes. So Penn State's got...
I can't wait to talk about that.
How long do we got? Because I kind of want to talk about it, too.
I don't know how the hell anyone is blaming James Franklin when he called the game of his life. That was a great game by him. He didn't do anything wrong. He has a knucklehead at quarterback, man. We'll get to that when we get to the pass. Cino Royale is going to join us a little bit later. He says his daughter's feeling better, so that's a good thing. So the prayers from the Ways of World community worked. It seems like his daughter's doing better today, and we're very happy about that, and we're happy to get Cino on a little bit later when we start breaking down these games. It's playoff time, guys. This is the time of the year we've been really good on the show. Going back from day one, I went 14-0 against the spread in 2021, documented on ESPN 97.5 in the 2021 playoffs. One of the most unbelievable runs in sports betting history, man. And I'm glad that everyone who's in this community was able to share it with me. Now that we're going to some more guys coming in and joining, we're looking to do the same thing again. Are you very excited about the playoffs, Spread, the NFL playoffs?
Yeah, I'm excited for both. We got a great game tonight. And then, of course, we're going to have a bunch this weekend. And I can't wait to break this all down. Let's just talk about two wins real quick.
Yeah,
I actually didn't watch any of these games, so I'm going to be relying on you completely. Villanova upset UConn at home. Did you watch, and what were your quick thoughts on that winner that we gave out on Wednesday?
Yes, I did watch that one. I had to watch it because the clients and I were highly invested, and I also gave it out to my free guys on here. So I want to make sure that I put all my energy on it and was able to break down what happened today for everyone. And we did really well, man. UConn played what they do. They're a really good team, well coached by Dan Hurley. Made a real good push at the end of the game, but Villanova was able to get this one done for us. Really competitive game, and as always, my rules apply. If, you know, the line looks funny, then it's probably money, and the line was looking funny with Villanova having no business being favored on this game. Big game from veteran Eric Dixon. He seems like he's been playing for Villanova forever, man. And he did a really good job for them, putting up 23 points, going 9-for-9 from the free throw line. It's really important because if you bet college basketball like I do, you understand the importance of free throws. The referees have a heavy hand in those games. The bonuses and things like that come in to real play at the end of games. And Villanova was really good from the free throw line. Glad that we were able to cash that one, Spread.
All right. You also cashed with two American players down under, Pegula, Keys. Talk about those two young women and what you think their prospects are for the upcoming Australian swing.
Really good job by both ladies. I knew that Madison Keys was going to have her ways with Castakina. Castakina just doesn't really match up well with her on this type of surface with the type of power that Maddie brings to the table. Same with Pegula. Pegula was facing a young American and Ashton Kruger, who has some promise, but just isn't ready to play at the status of a veteran like Pegula. So we're able to cash that, and it was so nice we had to do it twice. I actually sent that same parlay last night to the DM crew, so shout out to the DM crew. Everyone cashed on that. We got a retirement from Samsonova. I hate when she does that. She retired. Some of the books paid. Some of them got a push on it. But we were able to cast regardless because Pagulia did come through last night as well against Putin Siva. Now we're set up with the two girls that I've rode the last 2 days on two-leg parlays facing each other and Pagulia and Keys. That's going to be an exciting match, and it'll be for the crown in Adelaide. They're 1-1 against each other. This is going to be a really interesting match. Who do you like in that one?
I'll be honest, I haven't watched enough to give you a good one.
Okay.
So,
you haven't watched the tennis and Australian Open's coming up spread?
I'm way behind on my scouting.
Basketball.
I've been way behind on my scouting. So,
that basketball has my guy worn out. He looks like he hasn't slept in 3 days from covering NBA.
I was kind of mad we left out the Thunder and the Cavs on Wednesday. I realized when we got off, we probably should have talked about that, but we're already 2 hours in it. Yeah, I had given it out. I had written it up on Bookmaker's Reviews, so I should have given that
one. You think the Cavs can get to the finals?
Probably not.
Who are they going to lose, to Boston?
Probably.
Okay, they do match up good with them, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that crazy. I would say at the beginning of the year, I would have said there's no way. Now I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, that backcourt, I didn't think it was going to work because they were too small, but those two guys are so fun and electric and such good combo guards. They both can score and assist. That they really are really working well together. And I think most of that's because they like each other. As far as what you asked about the Australian Open, I think that Pagulia has a chance to make a deeper run than Madison Keys. I don't know why. It seems to me like Maddie kind of gets overwhelmed in big tournaments, and we've seen Pagulia lately make some really good pushes in these tournaments, and she keeps knocking on the door like sooner or later she might get one. She seems to play really bad in finals, but leading up to the tournament, she's been playing really good. So we'll see what, as her family hosts the Broncos this week in the Orchard Park for NFL playoffs as well. The Pagulia family has a lot going on this week with Jessica playing for the championship in Adelaide and then going to start Australian Open this weekend. And then, you know, the family having the Bills hosting the Broncos in the NFL playoffs with a lot of people thinking that the Bills might can make a run this season. How do you take it, Spread, when, like, players in Pagulia's position, her and Madison Keys playing at a finals leading up to a major, like now with Australian Open? Do you think it serves you most well to lose early in those type of tournaments leading up and get some rest before the majors, or to, you know, have a streak going and have a hot hand by winning a smaller tournament?
Depends on your age.
These girls are old in tennis terms. They're like dog years.
Well, I was going to say that about Keys. I hate to say it, but she's pretty much past her prime. She's nowhere near how she played about 3 to 4 years ago. She's obviously...
And Pagulia older than her, right?
No.
I think so. I'll look it up.
Fred. I don't think so.
Fred, I think she is. Madison Keys is 29. Pagulia's 30. Pagulia's
no
older
way.
Than her. Yeah, Pagulia was a late bloomer, Spread. She was.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know Keys is only 29 years old.
Yeah, right, she's younger than Pagulia. Pagulia's old, too.
my mistake there. So for players of that age, I think the rest helps. If you're younger, I'd rather go in with some momentum.
Yeah. All right, well, to the past.
All right. So obviously, I was ready to to blame...
No.
James Franklin.
We got Casino Royale in the building. What's up, man? We got the youngest man to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. Man, my little brother. What's up, Casino? How are you, man?
Wow, I'm good. What's up, Wager World, man? Finally, you know, shaking into this new year, man. My little girl, she been real, real sick. And we was doing a lot of running around. You know, Five Star knew how we was up. I got to run into Five Star. A lot of people. Let's just say the last few weeks has been crazy, man. We've been winning. It's been a roller coaster up and down. But we back. What we got, fellas?
Man, it's great to have you back. Everybody on the Wager World and in the community have been praying for your daughter. You know, we all family, man. Glad to hear that she's everything's great with her, man. And she's back, ready to go to school and enjoy life like kids should. You know, I was dealing with that stuff with Dean as well, man. So that's a good thing. Me and Spread were just getting into the past. We talk about this Penn State Notre Dame game. So Spread wants to blame Coach Franklin. And I was just about to break down to him why it is crazy to blame Coach Franklin. That was one of the best coached games, period, from both sides of the ball yesterday.
Quarterback fault.
Both of those coaches have been protecting pitiful, sorry-ass, overhyped quarterbacks and made it as far as they have only on their coaching skills. Because if you go watch the tape, and I did this morning at 6 a.m. when I was running, I watched the whole game over again. Because I just want to say, am I tripping? Because from the TV, it was looking like Franklin was calling some plays where guys were wide open. Bro, dudes were wide open.
He was overthrowing.
All over the field, on every play, he called an outstanding game. Drew Aller is complete ass. He's one of the guys we've talked about since August. And remember I even tweeted, Penn State has everything to win a national championship except for a quarterback. And we know you're going to need that. It was going to come down this game last night to which quarterback made the most crucial mistake. Riley Leonard threw like three interceptions, but at the end of the game, he didn't make the big mistake. The Penn State's defense gets a great stop. Gets them the ball back with 40 seconds. This is the time you're supposed to dream of as a kid. I'm going to drive this team down the field. We're going to kick a field goal and win and walk off, you know, and go to the national championship game. Drew Aller decides on a play that when he first hit his back foot, Warren is wide open in front of him, bro, for like a 20-yard gain going right down the seam, and that's who the play's for. But he's seeing ghosts because he's been out partying the night before. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was on a yacht drinking and smoking and partying and shit, doing the Odell Beckham with the Giants right the night before this game. You should not be out partying, bro. You could have partied after the game, man. You were supposed to be locked in. You already suck. You already can't see anything. And I'm so tired of these guys like Chris Sims with this bias in the media, man. Just say you don't like black quarterbacks, bro. Like, quit trying to make up all these other reasons why Will Levis should be compared to Bryce Young and the C.J. Stroud. How's that worked out? Now you go on a national televised, probably most watched sports show in the morning, The Herd, and actually say that Drew Aller should be a better prospect, should be taken before Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. How dare you? And then yesterday we saw exactly why we know you're not watching any tape. Because when the season began in August, I told you guys it was a couple quarterbacks that were going to let down their programs. Drew Aller was at the top of the list for Penn State. Uiagalelei for Florida State. Dylan Gabriel for Oregon. Will Howard, he's coming. He's next. Ohio State. And then I also had on that list Max Johnson from North Carolina. That all these guys were big transfer guys they were bringing in, and all of them were going to let down their program. Dylan Gabriel basically does the same exact thing that Drew Aller does and is a dumbass, and the night before gets high and partying and stuff like this isn't the biggest game of his life and goes in there and has a clunker. And then people want to say, give these lazy takes that it's Franklin's fault. Bro, y'all just piling up because for years people have always tried to say that Franklin's not a good coach, but he's a really good recruit and he's not a bad X and O guy, but he coached his ass off last night. No one's going to tell me that it was his fault that they lost their game. They were in position to win, and their quarterback did some dumb shit. He ran to the left and threw the ball across the field, knowing that the most important thing within a minute with the ball, and you're going to either go to overtime or you're going to score. Protect the ball, man. But when you're out partying and doing dumb shit the night before, of course you're going to do stuff like that, because Drew Aller makes bad decisions, and he has his entire career. He's been starting out for two seasons. This is unacceptable.
Five star. You pissed off. You must have had a lot of money on Penn State. But Jesus first Christ, half, bro. Yeah. I haven't heard you like this in a long time.
We had about 25 in the group on the first half and 20 on the game. So
that just gave me chills, bro. But it wasn't Coach Franklin's fault, bro. No Penn State wide receiver caught a pass against the Fighting Irish. Like if you go back, and, that's all I have to say.
They're wide open. Go look at number five. He's open.
All I have to say, yeah, he overthrew some people. They were wide open. And again, this is a football game. If no receivers are catching passes, you're not gonna win. And again, they just had to get up in field goal range. I'm watching the live line on that game. They went to minus 200 on the last drive before he threw the interception. The books thought they were going to kick the field goal, win the game. Definitely not Coach Franklin's fault. Anybody says that, they don't know.
Did you see the pass that the first time that they were in the red zone at the end of the first quarter when Coach Franklin calls a play where the running back is in the flats wide open?
Yeah.
Bro, your daughter could throw that pass. Ian and Dean can throw that pass. Spread, your dog can throw that pass, bro. It's a 3-yard just. You he could have threw it underhand to him, bro. And you threw it and hit the man in the bottom of his knee behind him on that because you're tight. You're scared. And I hope that Coach Franklin understands that, bro, you continue to tie your career to all these bum-ass quarterbacks. When has Penn State had a really baller back there? Trey Soil is the only one I can think of that was decent. The rest of those guys have all been the same dude like Aller. When the big games come, they're scared, they're folding up. So he needs to think about recruiting a different type of quarterback if he wants to have success, or he's going to end up losing his job and getting blamed for the play of the quarterback when he's calling some lights-out plays. That was just that sickened me. Just because I didn't want my three guys to lose, man, and I gave them the whole game. My clients, we took the first half beat, so we won. But I just wanted the three guys to win, man. It ticked me off that this guy made this coach look this way because I knew what the headlines were going to say today. Franklin can't get it done again. And if you watch the game, it had nothing to do with him.
All right. So,
Spread, I'm waiting on you. You said that it was his fault. So I want to see, why do you feel like it was Coach Franklin's fault?
What was their lead at halftime?
10-3.
10-0. 10-3.
What should it have been? Should have been like 20-3. They left so many points on the field.
But man, he was quarterback and Spread. Was he the one that – these guys are wide open, Spread. The quarterback can't throw it to him.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I just I was disappointed, and it felt like after halftime, Freeman really came out and his team played better. And I didn't really see anything.
Man, y'all know I'm on the Fighting Irish. I gave out the Fighting Irish to win it right at +750. But they were not supposed to win that game yesterday. It's Drew Aller's fault. It's definitely his fault.
Like this touchdown Jesus, you know, this man. Year after win. That's why when I took Georgia, bro, after the game, I thought about it. I was like, all this tragedy stuff happened on Bourbon. They about to let Notre Dame win. I was thinking during the game watching. I'm like, this shit is about to be when Notre Dame gets to the national championship.
So, is tonight the national championship for sure then? Does Notre Dame have a shot against
Man, Maryland you know tonight? They're going to have a shot because this is why they're going to have a shot. Because most everybody's going to bet on the other side. Whoever wins out of Ohio State and Texas is probably going to. We know how much money Texas alumni got. We know Ohio State. Come on. They got so much money and cover so many places with their alumni that we're going to have Notre Dame with the, you know, the public going against them. So, I think they're going to end up covering. Riley Leonard, he sucks, but he's just a little scrappy, try-hard. So you know how that is. When you're a little try-hard like that, your team plays better. What I can say is Marcus Freeman coaches his ass off. Them dudes, yeah, they've taken on his personality. He, at Ohio State, he was outside linebacker, you know, he, a playmaker type of dude, and they make plays, man. That defense is really good. They're really fired up. He bought swag to Notre Dame. Notre Dame had lost their swag. Under Brian Kelly, kind of like what's going on at LSU. They kind of lost who they were from the days of Lou Holtz, when Lou Holtz had them fired up and had the best athletes. And I think that Marcus Freeman has brought that back, man. And I don't know how long he's going to be at Notre Dame. I'm sure he could write himself a check and stay as long as he wants. But I think he's a pro coach.
All right, and we definitely need some of those. Let's move to the present. Let's talk about tonight's game. Ohio State taking on Texas, the Longhorns. Catching 6, you know, a lot of news, of course, about the tragic fires in Southern California, but weather in Texas hasn't been that good either. I was talking to some friends down there, and they were saying a lot of the fans from Austin were going to have to drive up today. It was really bad all week there as far as the freeway system out in Texas. So it'd be interesting to see how that affects everything as far as the turnout for tonight's game. But talk to me about your thoughts here. Longhorns catching 6. What do you like, 5-star?
Well, I kind of broke it down a little bit on Wednesday. I just think that this is the perfect opportunity for Texas with the fact that, one, they're playing basically a home game. And as you said, the weather's horrible. I talked to my sister. They're snowed in. I talked to my good friend out there. He's snowed in. So the weather's really bad. It's a winter weather storm going through there. So I don't know how it's affecting the flights. I don't know how Ohio State's fans came in earlier, whatever, but it should be mostly burnt orange in that stadium. Another thing we got to look at is there's a couple of factors that really benefit Texas in this game. First of all, you got Quinn Ewers, who's caught all types of, you know, flack from the media and we know in the wager world, we feel like he could play. You know, like Quinn Ewers, he's just a guy that carries himself just like Jay Cutler. He's kind of nonchalant, but when it comes down to it, the game was over last week if he doesn't make that perfect throw on 4th and 13. You know, horrible defense by Arizona State, but he executed. And a lot of quarterbacks, like last night, as we saw both dudes, they would have missed him. Quinn Ewers throws a dime, you know, and extends that game, and Texas ends up winning by 8. But their playoff lives were over, and they were been upset and been all bad. So I think that they're more focused this week in practice. Ohio State has to be feeling themselves. They beat Oregon. Oregon was the number one team, the team that beat them. That's basically was their national championship. So I expect Texas to come out a little bit more fired up than Ohio State. I like Texas early. I'm going to probably play them first half plus 3. As the game goes, I don't know if Ohio State makes adjustments. Ohio State's defense is strong, but so is Texas' defense. Will Howard is familiar with playing Texas with him being at Kansas State, so I don't think he'll be overwhelmed as most athletes are, but I don't think he's that good. I think if they can get some pressure on him with 4 and cover those receivers, he's going to make some mistakes tonight. And I do think that Quinn Ewers kind of gets some get back at Ohio State for not giving him that starting position and recruiting him and him having to transfer to Texas. So I do like Texas with the points, but for sure I like them on the first half on this one. As I said, all factors just point to Texas being really in a good spot and Ohio State being a little overvalued.
Tino, how are you approaching this game?
5-star broke that one down phenomenal. You got to put yourself in Quinn Ewers' shoes right now. Last game he played, didn't look like he was ready for the moment. Like, he came out kind of shaky. And 5-star, if you wouldn't have made that pass, they wouldn't be where they're at right now. So everybody thinks Will Howard going to go out there, you know, and continue to throw and play at an elite level like he's been playing at. And again, they played against Auburn. They was all over Auburn. All over, what's his name? Gabriel. Yeah. Kept sacking him. I think they had like, I was looking at the numbers. What was it? 8 sacks. 8 sacks. That defense is definitely not about to go out there again. I think the offensive line going to be going to be powered, fired up, come out first half and do what they have to do. So 5-star, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. First half, Texas. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. You guys ready to move to the NFL?
Yes, man, sir. Let's get it, man. This the one right here, man. This our time of the season, man.
All right. Houston Texans hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. I have an idea of where you're going to go on this one, 5-star. But go ahead and confirm it. Are you taking the home dog in the first game of the NFL wildcard playoff?
Man, last night, so I give out Penn State about maybe 4 p.m., Sino. Boy, you could ask E right now. We sitting on the phone watching the numbers. Right before tip, all the money was on Penn State. It flip-flopped. It went.
But you want to know something that's crazy? I was watching the same thing because I gave out Penn State also.
It flipped, bro. Everybody went down there and betted, bro, after we gave it out. So that's why, man, on this football, I be feeling some type of way about my picks on these because I don't want so much money flowing in on it. Mm-hmm. They did not start moving the market because if you know, like we know as guys who analyze this and been doing this a long time, the market matters, bro. The market matters, bro. So if the market stays the way it is right now, I got to be with the Texas money line. That's what it's looking like right now because these teams are evenly matched, bro. It's going to boil down to just how the game's called, bro, basically. You know, like we're going to just be real about it. You got a Chargers team who don't have any wide receivers going against the best defensive backfield in the NFL. Like, you really going to trust the kid from TCU that has iron gloves to all of a sudden now be, you know, catching everything because last week he did. I'm not trusting him in that situation. And Ladd McConkey is still a baby, so he's a rookie. So we'll see how he shows up. Also, they're hurt with J.K. Dobbins. Are they going to have both their tackles spread? Or is Rashawn Slater playing?
I think he is.
Okay, I know he was banged up.
I know he missed last week, but I think that was just to get ready for this week.
I think that it's so much hate on the Texans right now that this is really a sweet spot for the Texans, man. Early morning game at home. Everybody just saying how they suck and they're the worst team left in the playoffs and all this. It just seems to be set up perfectly for me because CJ Stroud has became a company man. He's just like Mahomes, bro. We watch him every week and we watch the numbers. If the public is against him, he's going to show up and he's going to look great. If the public is with him, he's going to suck. And that's just how it goes. I think this is going to be one of his better games, and people are going to be so amazed how all of a sudden the offensive line for the Texans aren't giving up sacks and looking pretty strong. I just think this is a perfect situation for a book cleanup and for the Texans to do this. They're really undervalued publicly, man. Like, the public feels like the Texans aren't that good, bro. Like, no one has respect for them. And I think that they don't know that they got a really good defense and a really good coach at drawing up defenses. And I think all the stuff we've seen from Herbert won't be as easy in Houston on Saturday morning. So I will definitely be on the Texans plus three.
All right, Sino, I think this is a tough game,
man. Would a lot of people forget that the Texans were a good ass team in the first six, like what they were, like 5-1 or something to start, and then the rest of the season they got shook up. Like, I feel like this is a reset. CJ Stroud just been gone out there throwing interception after interception, and we all know that the Chargers got one of the best pass defenses, right? Why in the hell is this game only 2.5? Why is it not Chargers minus 4.5? Like, I don't give a.
You can't say the Chargers are 6 points better.
What? Who? Is Tank Dell playing?
No.
All right. Is Diggs playing?
No.
I don't have to say nothing else. Y'all go bet the Chargers. Go ahead. Go ahead. 5-star. You're on the right side, my brother. If the market stay the way it is, money line.
Money line plus 130.
Yeah, money line. Go ahead.
It's all about the market, man. If we don't get in the last minute. Rich Houston boys going down there going crazy. We'll be all right. Stay around where they under 40%, bro, from public tickets. We okay, man. I like the Texans a lot in this spot. I just haven't seen Herbert. I know he's a baller, but he's still, to me, overrated, bro. I have not seen him do anything in the playoffs. And if he does something, you know, I'll be more than happy to come here on Wednesday and say, congratulations to Herb for getting his first playoff win. But it shocks me that guys like Bucky Brooks have him rated as an elite player, as an elite quarterback in that tier, and he hasn't won a division, and he hasn't, you know, won a playoff game. And I don't want to hear, he's in the division with Mahomes. Mahomes and him are the same age. Mahomes is beating his ass. So I don't want to hear that about, he's in a division with Mahomes. Like, Mahomes had to play to become the player he is. He didn't just fall in the league and, I'm Mahomes, I'll beat everybody. Like, what the hell is that? He's in a division with Mahomes. What the hell? This media shit. Go ahead, Spread.
I think you're being a little too hard on Herbert here. But my key to the game here, and this is where I think it's really tough to lay it with Los Angeles, is the Texans' strength on their defense at the secondary. Obviously, they do get good pass rush as well, right? Mm-hmm. But really elite secondary players. What's the Chargers' biggest weakness? Like, what are they going to address in the offseason? And my guess is going to be either through the draft or through cheaper fits. I can't see them spending a lot of money on this position. But the weakest part of this team is the wide receivers and the skill position players.
And
so now I have the Texans' strength. You know, the Texans' strength in this, with this elite secondary and the way that they can get pass rush versus the Chargers' weakness. So to me, that's where. So you guys know I write for Odds Trader, but my articles are due at 11 a.m. on Monday morning. So I wake up, I don't really have a lot of time to go through it. I actually wrote up the Chargers. And I woke up on Tuesday and Tyler and I talked about it because we had talked about it a little bit on Monday too. He said, you know what? I think I kind of flipped on that game. And I said, I kind of think I did too. Because, I just don't know how McConkey and those guys are going to be able to get loose here. It just seems like that's a terrible matchup.
Herbert, the Chargers, on the scramble spread, that's what the Texans have to watch. Herbert has been tucking. He's been watching a lot of Josh Allen and Lamar doing that thing. And lately, he's been scrambling, bro. He's not scrambling to run out of bounds. He's been running trying to score. Like, you know, like tucking it for like 50. So they have to watch that because that's the type of stuff that sparks momentum, you know, and he has those type of legs. So that's what the Texans do have to watch. And the Texans aren't really good at stopping quarterback from running. But what the Texans are good at is running the ball with Joe Mixon. And as you were saying, they're weak at the receiver, but they're also weak up the middle. The Chargers are one of the worst teams against the run in the league, man. They're giving up 4.7 yards per carry and ranked 27th at that. So that's one of their weaknesses there.
Which really is wild for a Harbaugh team, right? I mean, that's not what we expect from the way that they've always set up their defense. And you basically came up to my final point. I mean, I hate to be really reductive, and we can say this about so many games, but who's going to be able to run the ball? Because I if the Chargers are able to establish that run and keep this as a real low-scoring game, I could see them covering the spread. But if they can't run and the Texans get that run game going, I know this is a close spread now, but it might not be as exciting as we expected. All right, any final thoughts there? I do think it's a tough game, and this will also come into our Monday night handicap as well. Another tough reason I think to take both these LA teams is everything that's going on there right now. Even if they weren't personally affected, people they know are affected. It's got to affect your preparation. It's got to affect the coach's preparation. Your schedule's not the same. I mean,
a lot of players got to stay there too. It's burnt up the area that most of the people who are affluent live at, you know, in that area.
Yeah. So even if their house is okay, they know people that are affected and they're worried about their friends and family. A tough situation for all the LA teams. Kind of another thing that I think is tough to handicap because we don't really have a lot of precedent for stuff like this before. I know it's happened with the Saints and Katrina and having to move some of their games, and it's happened a couple times before, but not a lot that we can really hang our hat on. You guys ready to move on to the night game?
Yeah, we can move on to the night. Joe Mixon to score anytime touchdown, guys, -125. I like that.
Yeah, and Slater did practice this week, 5-star. I would expect him to be out there.
Okay.
All right. The Steelers are catching 10 points, man. I'm so done on the Steelers. I'm so out on the Steelers. And then they post this line that is just like, I mean,
ridiculous.
Bro, it's like driving by a strip club. Like, they're just trying to allure you to go in there and, you know, nothing good's going to happen, you know, but they try to trick you to come in. This Steelers team was 10-3. Now they're 10-7. Everything that they've done, right, has kind of been undone in these last four games. And 5-star, you're not the only one. You know, I consume a lot of NFL content during the week, and you're, you know, we talked about it on Wednesday, but you're not the only one really talking about Pickens and really his inconsistency and bad body language when things aren't going well. So we're in such, I think these Saturday games are tough.
Yeah.
Because we're in such a conundrum here, because I do not want to lay 10 on the road. The last 36 games, wild card underdogs are 24-12 against the spread. So these games are a lot closer, than we're used to. But boy, taking Pittsburgh right now is so tough. To me, it's Steelers are past 5-star, but I haven't played it yet. What do you think?
Home favorites of 7 to 9.5 points or 12-25-1 against the spread in the playoffs since 2011. You know, guys know I don't really drop a lot of numbers. So, but that one stuck out to me. So I was looking at that because I really like the Broncos. We'll talk about that a little bit later with the points. Man, the problem with the Steelers is Mike Tomlin. How the hell can you say, in a division matchup against a team that he's owned over the years, no matter how bad they're playing, when it's win or go home, that I'm going to think that he's going to get beat by double digits against a quarterback that he's really confused over the years. You know what I mean? So I'm not playing this game, but I like you, Spread. If I was going to play it, I'm playing the Steelers. I think I'm going to watch it and try to bet it live. It's one of those situations where, man, maybe I bet the Steelers money line before the game start, and I already got +400 in my pocket, but I see Lamar come to play and go grab my money back, you know, because the first half is going to determine this game, in my opinion. If the Ravens get off to a fast start, it's going to be really difficult on the Steelers to come back. Russell Wilson does have some magic in him, so he might can still get it back within the number. But, boy, if the Steelers start out fast in the first half and now that pressure's on Lamar, and he's thinking about, one, I've sucked in the playoffs and everyone's ready for me to go home again, and they think that I'm not a good playoff player. And then also, exactly, man, the Steelers have beat my ass a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got over the little curse just last game. You know, they kind of got right 34-17. But before that, Tomlin had beat him, man, 8 out of 9 times. So I just think that you got to be careful with Mike Tomlin, man. I know he doesn't have everything he used to have with Big Ben and all that and AB, but, man, he's a hell of a coach with that many points, and it's something that he's going to use to fire his team up. And head-to-head, the Steelers are 8-2 in the last 10 against the Ravens and 7-3 against the spread. So it's a stay away of the Steelers for me.
All right, yeah. I mean, depends on how my Saturday goes. I might end up just taking the 10 and having some fun with it.
It's a lot of points, but if Ravens start fast, you might get 17. You know, the Ravens might score the first.
It could be a game too where you cover and the money line is never a question, right? Where you just know the Ravens are going to win the whole time, but you know they win by 8 or 9, and you know. Anyway, Cino, you're kind of shaking your head. I have a feeling you might be taking the big boys down in Baltimore.
Oh, we taking Baltimore. That's going to be the easiest money. 5-star just broke it down to y'all. Lamar Jackson going out there thinking like, man, look, I just got this contract. All eyes on me. Everybody talking about how I suck in the playoffs. I'm in a MVP running against Josh Allen. I get to shine. I'm a 9-point favorite. Again, they opened at 8.5, not 9.5. It'll be 10 or 10.5 when it's time to close, if you ask me. Lamar Jackson is about to put that grill in his mouth and be smiling all night out there in Baltimore. He about 9. Come on, y'all. A playoff game, you're going to give me 10 points? And I can tease it up to 17? Nah, something not right about that. Again, Lamar Jackson and team, they come out, do what they have to do. King Henry, he going ground and pound. This not going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin we've been seeing. Blowout.
All right. Cena's on ball. I kind of joked about it on my other show that I do with Tyler. You know, I said, hey, this is a possibility. This might be a night. You were watching football last night. Football tonight. Maybe you take the girl out for this game because it's going to be a blowout. And then get back to everything on Sunday.
It's just no way. I don't believe that, man. And once again, it's all about market as well. But I think the squares are going to be on Lamar, man. Lamar got a lot of hood dudes. I always talk about that. It's different groups that bet on different people. Thing about Lamar, the hood betting on Lamar.
All day, every day.
So after that money get to rolling in from the casinos in New Orleans, get to rolling in from the casinos in Detroit and places like that, then, you know, it might be looking pretty lovely for the Steelers. But I can see it going that way, so, you know, for sure.
All right. Let's move on. This will be Sunday, 10 a.m., our normal kick out here on the West Coast. Denver Broncos are +9 in Buffalo, taking on the Bills. Total is 48. 5-star, I actually bet this a little earlier this week at 47.5. However, I bet the over. And I actually think that my play is correlated to taking the points with the Broncos. So when I'm looking at this game, and I know, see, they've kind of juiced it here, and it's not common knowledge. I think the Bills are going to get there for me for my total no matter what. So when I'm betting the total over, I'm saying Bo Nix will be able to find some success against this defense. Mm-hmm. And I know that is kind of like a ballsy call. We're going to talk about it in the evening game here as well. But rookie quarterbacks traditionally have not faced a lot of success in the playoffs, right? They even talk about it from college to even NFL preseason. The game's faster. Then you hear all these rookies in their first game, and we saw how much Nick struggled against the Seattle Seahawks in week 1. Compare that to his tape recently against Kansas City, essentially as the preseason game, but still, you could see the improvement that the experience of the season and working with Peyton all year had. But the intensity is going to step up. The game plans are going to step up. Nothing's being left out there. And these guys have 17 weeks worth of tape to find Nick's weaknesses and try and make them uncomfortable. So I have bet on the over here. It correlates. It means that I do like the Broncos +9. However, I'm not pounding the table for it, and it's not my best bet of the weekend. What do you think of the Broncos and the Bills here, Five Star?
Broncos were one of my biggest plays. I played it early. The group already played it. I hope that you don't jank me, audience. Well, the Broncos plus 8.5, man. How could I not? I mean, Bo Nix is 24, man. He's not your normal rookie. And he's played a lot of big games at Auburn and LSU, Auburn and Alabama, you know, Auburn and Georgia. Then he went to Oregon and played some huge games. So I don't think that the crowd at Orchard Park is going to overwhelm him. Like, you know, I think he's going to come to play. And we've been seeing that his play has really increased over the season as he's in the, one of the best quarterback schools you can imagine with Sean Payton. Sean Payton is just a hell of a coach. They went 8-9 last year. People don't realize that, like, the Broncos, if you think back and think about last season, you think, oh, they suck. They were one of the bad teams. Russell Wilson didn't play but half the year. He was arguing with Sean Payton. They still went 8-9. Because Sean Payton is that cold, bro. He's one of the top coaches that we've ever had in the sport. And I know it's going to be hard for us as Saints fans to ever replace him. I said that when he retired and left the organization. Broncos defense, man, is first in the league in EPA per play allowed. First in dropback EPA per play allowed. Fourth in rush EPA per play allowed. So no matter how the defense have attacked Denver, they've been able to get off the field. Vance Joseph is really, really underrated. A really good DC. Sean Payton gives him a lot of information from the offensive side of the ball, what to watch about the other team, just like he did with Dennis Allen, how Dennis Allen was able to roach up on the job because Sean Payton's so smart, he knows both sides of the ball. And him and Vance Joseph do a really good job with that defense. When you think about the Broncos, you think about their defense, man. And defense travels. It doesn't matter where it goes. Sean Payton's 4-1 against the spread as an underdog in the playoffs. He already went against McDermott with a lesser team last year in the same situation, went up to Buffalo and won the game 24-22. Just because that defense was so good at being able to contain Josh Allen. Josh Allen did not play good against Vance Joseph defense last year, and they're better this season. The scheme he had last year held Josh Allen to only completing 15 passes, 177 yards, 2 interceptions. And also they kept him, you know, in check on the ground. I don't know if he was injured, but he only had 13 yards on 4 carries. So that doesn't sound very Josh Allen-like. I think that it's more super smart scheming by Sean Payton and that staff. I just trust Sean Payton, bro. I'm not going to think that Sean Payton's going to lose by 9 points, especially with the momentum that the Broncos bring into this game. Denver's going in this game thinking they can win this game. Denver is 3-1 against the spread versus teams with a winning percentage of 75% or higher under Payton. So if a team is really good, that's when Sean Payton brings his best game plan, and the Broncos love to fight against these elite teams. I'm going with Denver plus 8.5, and you guys love Josh Allen so much in the media. He might be going to Cancun on Monday if he's not careful.
Bro, that's why I love you so much.
Yeah, he might be going to Cancun, though. So I took the Broncos plus 8.5 and money line. I think the Broncos can win this game. Who's pushed Kansas City better than the Broncos this season?
Simple as that, Five Star. And then if you look at it, it's already a successful season for Sean Payton and the Broncos. We in the playoffs.
Nobody picked us. We supposed to be last in the division.
Right? We got a shot. Like, we really have a shot. And again, how he said, you don't give me 9 points against Sean Payton. Man, Bo Nix, y'all have to remember, too, this Denver market is not a weak market. Like, they are a big, big market. Denver is about to be good within the next few years. They're going to make some noise. And I think this is going to be the game that sets the stage. Five Star, that's a phenomenal play. Those plus 9, y'all. That's the first official play from Cino. I'm back, baby.
Yes, sir.
Broncos plus 9. Let's go, Sean Payton.
Both. So the Royale Group and the Supreme Clientele, we load up the ride and we give you guys free plays with this one, guys. Don't jank us. Y'all get positive energy and let's win this thing. Get it done. Also, I think that Bo Nix over 24.5 rushing yards is a lock as well. He's averaged 30 plus yards the last 4 games. We all know that the defense mechanism for all good quarterbacks, they're young, their first playoff games, things get heated, they're going to tuck and run. And I think he's going to make a couple big runs in this game to get us over the 25. So I like Bo Nix to go over 25 yards rushing as well. guys. So y'all can lock that one in too.
Most definitely. Don't forget, Bo Nix, one of the most decorated quarterbacks in college football history. This kid, he's going to be special, man. This is going to be a great game. They about to go back and forth, I believe.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a good one.
All right. Another good game is going to be a rematch of the week one game that took place down in Brazil. I don't know how much we can take from that game.
Right.
But I think that's an interesting conversation to have as well. But I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers, who are catching 4.5 in Philadelphia, taking on the Eagles. Totals 46. Injury concerns around both quarterbacks for this game. Jalen Hurts, man, he's been in concussion protocol for a long time. Starting to really get concerned for that young man. And those who watch the show know that I'm a fan of Jalen Hurts. I remember Five Star got mad at me a couple of years ago when I said, even though we all bet the Chiefs, I started rooting for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, man. What
against my money, because I just like the way he plays so much, man.
I'm really no, most is a betting spread.
He's such a likable guy, and it just would have been a great story. Okay. Now, on the other side, Jordan Love's got either hand issues or elbow issues. There were concerns about him gripping the ball. Then they close practice. Then video gets out of practice. The video looks pretty good. Could be some gamesmanship. Could be that he's really hurt. A.J. Brown's missed practice this week after not playing very much in the playoffs last season. A lot of moving parts going around this game. Five Star, do you have news on these quarterbacks? Do you have news on A.J. Brown? And how are you approaching this game? Because if I knew that Hurts and Brown were 100%, I would smash the Eagles. But this concussion thing is lingering along, and we've seen it before, you know, most recently with Tua, who ended up being pretty good. A lot of times the first game back from a concussion isn't a quarterback's best. Everything else about me in this matchup loves Philadelphia, though. I like the way that they improved during the season. I think they've gotten much better, especially under Fangio, since that week one game than Green Bay. Not that Green Bay hasn't had a great season. But Philadelphia's really come into their own, especially on the defensive end of the ball. I remember kind of railing against them when they were 2-2. And since then, Fangio's continued to implement schemes and versatility for their players to make them look successful. Tough one for me. I lean towards the Eagles here, though. How are you approaching this one, Five Star?
I'm not in any way going to, you know, give up any points with Sirianni against Matt LaFleur in the win or go home game. I just trust Matt LaFleur more as the head coach. I don't know if they get it done, but I think that Matt LaFleur can definitely keep this game within the number, man. He's just that type of coach. He's going to have a brand new offensive game plan for this one that the Eagles have never seen before, and it's going to attack their weaknesses. Rematch of a really good game early in the year that probably should have never been played because Jordan Love has never recovered, it seems like. He got hurt at the end of that game and been hurt all season, off and on, a little different nagging injury. So he's going to need an offseason to get back right. But the Green Bay Packers are ranked third in the NFL in net yards per play at 0.9. And that number's the same on the road. That means that they're the best in the league offensively per play. And I believe that such a diverse offense. You can run Josh Jacobs, man. He's getting gaping holes. They were second in the league and running the ball, and they're all pure yards, but Jordan Love does not scramble. So probably the best run attack in the NFL. And if I got a good running game and a quarterback like Jordan Love and a coach like Matt LaFleur, I'm not going to fade them and lay almost a touchdown against them. The key to stopping the Eagles is stopping the run game. And the Packers are really solid against the run. A lot of people don't know that they allow the third fewest yards per carry in the league. They're also seventh in opponent rush EPA, and they're fifth in opponent rush success rate since week 10. So they've been shutting down the run really well of late. Both quarterbacks, as you said, are coming off of injuries. But Hurts being in the protocol is a bigger issue to me. Hurts is one of those guys that's a rhythm guy, man. He's not a smooth passer and a natural thrower, bro. So he has not been getting any game action. I for sure be on the Packers first half. Like, I could tell you that anyway, because the Packers started slow the last couple of games. The Eagles have scored, I think, one touchdown in the first quarter all season, maybe two. And the first one they got was in week 15. I know that the Eagles' defense has been good under Vic Fangio. Came a long way since they met each other in Brazil. two rookies, though, in the defensive backfield. Cooper DeJean and Kenyon Mitchell both have played well, but they're still rookies. So I think that Matt LaFleur will be able to exploit them. Then the other guys in the secondary are both risk takers, and Darius Slay and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is food. If you can get him isolated right, which I think that Matt LaFleur will be able to, you could take advantage of him, you know, in the pass game. Now the question is, as always with the Packers, will the receivers catch the ball when Jordan Love throws it to them? So, and just a situation of two really good teams. You guys know I got the Packers to win the NFC, and I still believe they can do it at 7-1. So I think that the Packers can go to Philadelphia and definitely make this a game. I just trust Matt LaFleur to have those guys ready to play, as we saw last year when they went to the Cowboys as a 7th seed and upset them. So give me the Packers +5 in the Packers first half on this one.
All right. Like I said, I didn't play it, but I'm leaning the opposite way. A 5-star here. Break the tice, you know.
If I had to play it, it got to be the Packers with the points. Again, Nick Sirianni be making some crazy decisions, and the Packers ain't been a dog that many times on the road, if you go back and look at the numbers. And they played against the Big Bad Lions on the road, and they were underdog, and they only lost by 3 points, a field goal. So it's a playoff game right here. I definitely think Jordan Love and the gang will go up in there turned up, man. And I think this game come down to a field goal. You going to give me 5 points? Packers +5. Let's go, 5.
Let's go.
All right, you guys both on the Packers. I'm sitting here on the other side.
Yeah, the Packers were only an underdog twice on the road.
They've been beat up all year, Fred, but look at that offense. Like, do you want to face that offense in the playoffs with the way the Kraft's playing the tight end, with the way they're running the ball, the type of play calling that we know that Matt LaFleur has, and he has a real trigger, man. We've seen Jordan Love play a lot better in big games. He's one of those guys that plays really well in games that matter.
Yeah, and like you said, this game, I really, really feel it's going to come down to Saquon. Spread, you made a great, great point. Quarterbacks come back after that concussion protocol. They're not too shaky, so I think that it's going to be a lot of ground and pounding. Jordan Love, 5-star, made me realize that, man. Ball on number, ball on number. If you're putting that on number and the receivers are catching, night-night.
They can't have any big drops early. That's what's going to determine this game, because I guarantee you in the first quarter when the Packers get the ball, Matt LaFleur is going to drop something so beautiful where somebody's going to be wide open. And Jordan Love is going to put it on them, but we've seen so many times this year, he or Romeo Hobbs, they've been dropping balls left and right. Christian, he's hurt, though. Christian Watson, he's dropped. They dropped too many balls, man. I trust Kraft more than all those guys, but maybe Romeo Dobbs comes to play when he wants to play. He's a real number one, but man, he hasn't looked like this season. Something happened early in the year with him and LaFleur kind of getting into it with him not getting the ball, and it's made him drop off because he was Jordan Love's number one option the year before. So we're going to need them guys to get on the right page with each other in order to cover this one, because the Eagles are a really good team.
Hey, y'all, man, don't be surprised if the Eagles get eliminated.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Somebody surprised. Going home this week is not supposed to. That's
man,
guaranteed.
Packers one tough of these road the, dogs are tough on the road, y'all. Trust
yeah,
me.
One of these road dogs going to win.
Yeah, I think where the Eagles really have the advantage, though, is going to be on the line of scrimmage on both sides. I do think the Eagles' offensive line is so good, and Packers have shown some problems stopping the run earlier. And the way that Eagles' defense has been playing, Fangio's really got him dialed in, so. It's going to take a great performance from Love to get it done. But to me, that's some must-see TV here. The Washington Commanders, this game's interesting as well. The Washington Commanders are +3. They're in Tampa. They're taking on the Buccaneers. Total's 50.5. Jaden Daniels played against Tampa to start his NFL career, his first professional game. Didn't look too good. Tampa did a great job shutting them down. Buccaneers get the win in that game. Kind of like our Eagles-Packers, though. It was in week one. So Daniels has improved a lot since then. He's got a lot of experience. And we've kind of seen the ups and downs with this Commanders team. At one point, they were first in the NFC East. Maybe a chance to have a top seed. Eventually, the flaws in their defense, I think, kind of held them back a little bit. And Daniels got a little banged up. And kind of went through and, to me, was an injury-related slump during the middle of the season. The Buccaneers, of course, Todd Bowles always dials up great defenses. I think that will be a challenge for the Commanders. And we know that Baker likes to sling it. Jalen McMillan's done an excellent job stepping in for Chris Godwin. So it feels like they still have good receivers on both sides of the ball. And Mike Evans gets to resume his rivalry with Marshawn Lattimore. Now that trade looks a lot more important just because of the specific matchup between these two men. Only because of the fading the rookie quarterback in the playoffs here, I lean towards the Buccaneers. But I don't love it. Jaden Daniels seems like he is that type of player, that type of talent that can maybe overcome narratives such as a rookie quarterback in his first playoff start. How are you feeling this one, five-star?
I love Jaden Daniels. You guys know I was the first one yelling Jaden Daniels all the way back in 2021 when he was at Arizona State. I knew the type of talent that he was going to be. The next Lamar Jackson, man, I'm sure he'll win an MVP before his career is off. He's that type of talent, but this is his first season. He's going against a real dog. Baker Mayfield is a dog. Simple as that. You know, like, Baker is a dog, and his teams take on his personality. I think Bay is going to be ready to rock and roll, and I really don't think this game is going to be close. Washington's played over the head all year because the greatness of Jay Daniels and the great coaching by Dan Quinn, but their personnel isn't that good, bro. Like, Marshawn Lattimore is going to follow Mike Evans around maybe. If he does, what about the other guys? Like, I don't think that they're going to be able to stop Baker. Baker's 3-1 against the spread in his playoff career. People don't remember with Cleveland, they were really good when he was in the playoffs. They beat the Steelers as dogs on the road. And I think that Baker's going to have those guys focused and ready to play. They didn't look that good against the Saints last week. Ty Bowles probably was stuffing a lot of stuff because he didn't want, you know, to show too much. But I think Ty Bowles will be able to contain Jaden Daniels enough for them to cover the 3 points. I'll be playing the Bucs -3 on this one.
All right. Five stars going with Todd Bowles. Where are you at, Cino?
Man, five star. I don't know. The new year, we're on a lot of the same stuff. I'm thinking just like five. Man, look, the Bucs look so sloppy against the Saints, y'all. And they was down at the half. And they were still favored the whole game. And Baker turned up in the fourth quarter. Man, Baker is a different beast. I don't know what the hell they did to him down there in Tampa Bay. But right, him and Mike Evans have going on right now. They're clicking. And he was throwing the ball to himself. Jalen McMillan. There we go, McMillan. That's what I want to say, McMillan. Man, the combination that they have right now, oh, my God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This game not going to be close. I don't think Washington won a playoff game since when? Since the early 2000s? Like,
It's been a while.
It's not about
maybe time. Robert Griffin's game when he came back. Did they win that one?
I was in college at that time, so that guy was 2006, 2007, something of that nature. So
they're on the right road, though.
Yeah, definitely on the right road. But like you said, five star, they still early, man. We all know Jaden gonna be phenomenal. He's still a rookie. A lot to do, but Baker Mayfield got a point to prove. I don't think this game gonna be close.
All right. Both of you guys like the Buccaneers, and that will be our Sunday night football game. Monday night football, I don't know if I like having Monday night football in the playoffs. Now you got to play your next game on a short week, but whatever. It is the way it is. This game was about even on the line. Now this game has been moved to Arizona because of the wildfires, and now the Vikings are -2.5. This is an interesting game. So all year long, everybody wanted to say the Vikings are frauds. And all week long, everybody got to take their victory lap because that was a terrible performance against Detroit, especially by the offense, especially by Sam Darnold. And it wasn't simply in the red zone. Like I was listening to Greg Cosell earlier, he was missing throws all over the field. You know, it wasn't just the red zone. You know, he had plenty of plays. You know, you kind of talked about Drew Aller earlier, right? Kind of the same deal. It wasn't like these were bad play calls. The execution simply didn't get it done. However, the Vikings have been the much better team, and I don't know, losing to the best team in the NFC, I don't know how much I want to downgrade them off that. The other thing I think is tough is, you know, how much these players affected by the fires, how much did it affect their preparation, and, you know, do they come together? Or is it a detriment? I think that's tough to say. Most of me wants to take the Vikings. However, Matt Stafford is so good, and Sean McVay is so good. I just can't get there. even though I think the Vikings defense is so much better than the Rams here. Lean towards the Vikings, but I don't like it at this new price, and I don't know if I want to take the worst quarterback in this matchup. What do you think of Five Star?
The Prince has became a pumpkin, man. That's simple as that. Sam Darnold is back to who he thought he was. So I think that when he goes to L.A., he's going to have a lot of friends and family there, and also dealing with, you know, all of the fires and things like that. There's just a lot on the young man who's played over his head pretty much the whole season. I think that the Rams pretty much already laid the blueprint when they beat them earlier with how they're going to beat them. That defense for the Rams is really underrated. Last week they didn't play their starters because, of course, you know, the game didn't matter. But let's look at the last three games from that defense. They've held opponents to 6 points, 9 points, and 9 points. That's pretty good. I think that that defense is shaping into form. Jerry Verse is becoming a factor on the defensive end side. One thing that troubles me about any time I'm dealing with a Minnesota game, even if they play well in the first half and get up, when things tire down and their pass rush and their blitzes and getting there, they are not good at stopping the pass, man. They're slow in the defensive backfield, and we got probably a top five wide receiver group over here with the Rams, you know, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. Is DeMarcus Robinson playing? I know he got
a No, but Jordan Whittington's been playing really well lately, so okay. I don't know how much of a drop-off that is.
Okay, so we got that going. And then we got my guy, Sean McVay. You know, Sean McVay is a Super Bowl champion, one of the better coaches in the NFL playoffs we've seen. I think McVay had these boys ready to play. Give me the Rams plus 2.5.
Sino, where you landing on this one?
Man, after the way the Vikings played against the Detroit Lions, everybody will be on the Rams, whole world. So yeah. I lean the other side. I think Sam Darnold to get his shake back. And I think they money line, but I really, really like the over in this game, to be honest. I like the over 48. I think both teams going to come out and give us fireworks. It's going to be a standalone game. They go back and forth. It's a coin flip, yeah. In this game right here, yeah, let's just play the over. Because, again, I think Sam Darnold will do what he have to do personally. And since my guys love the Rams, they will have to keep up. So it's going to be a back-and-forth game. Definitely, I like the over in this game right here. Sino, another official play.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about sports. One thing we like to do is buy low. Definitely a buy low spot on the Vikings. Feels like a lot of people were fading them all year. They got vindicated last week. And so, you know, it kind of comes down to the question, Five Star, did the Prince turn into a pumpkin? Or was last week the aberration, right? I mean, Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions against Houston. Mm-hmm. That's not who we see every week, that's though. It was right. One bad week. Right. And also, I think if the Rams are going to win, they're going to outscore them. I think this defense is going to be a lot easier for the Vikings to look good against than the Rams was. So, you know, hey, and hopefully Kevin O'Connor realizes he's got a kicker and kicks the damn extra point every once in a while. You're allowed to kick field goals, bro.
Oh,
you're allowed to kick field goals. All right, that's it for us. That is our NFL wild card preview. Any final thoughts before we move into the bottom parlay?
Nope, let's do it.
All right, yeah, if this wasn't going so long, Five Star, I would get into some more draft talk with you because now it looks like Deshaun Watson might miss 2025, maybe Cleveland.
Bro, how in the hell did you look at that the exact same time I was just reading that from Lance Erline?
Wow. I saw it right before we came on. I got to sneak it in because, remember, we had talked about whether or not Cleveland gets a quarterback. I think maybe now they'd have an excuse to get into it. But we'll talk about that next week. We'll have plenty of time for draft talk. Let's move into the ball and parlay. Sino, haven't seen you for a while. Start with you. Give the people what they want.
Man, y'all, I've been all over the place, y'all, with this stuff right here. I'm not even going to lie. Hockey. I've been playing a lot of hockey lately. I've been on the ice. Got to switch it up a little bit when you call it another sports. But after what happened with Penn State last night, we're going to stay away from the football for a little while. Nah, for real. I don't know how they didn't win that game, y'all. And y'all know I love Notre Dame. But we're going to ride the San Jose Sharks, man. They playing against this new Utah hockey team. Utah, they still trying to figure it out. They are so inconsistent. And I just feel right here, it's a great price. So let's take the plus 1.5 with the San Jose Sharks.
All right. Zeno, giving out a hockey pick. Might be the first time on this show. I don't remember if we...
No, it is. No. I gave out a hockey pick. It was the Rangers. We won that one. Yep.
So my all right. Looking right to improve on his undefeated record in NHL. Five-star, what's your ball and parlay for the weekend?
I already gave him out. I'm rolling with the Broncos at +8.5. I really trust Sean Payton. I think that he can get it done. I think that the Broncos are a live dog at Buffalo. And I'm rolling with my Texas Longhorns as well tonight. I think that the books are overrating Ohio State a little bit. They've already crowned them the champion. Joe Public is all over them and think that Texas are some bums. And I think tonight Texas represents Texas football in an appropriate way and manner. And I'm also going to go with my Houston Texans, man, at +3. I think that that's a great number for to be at home. They're saying that the Chargers are 6 points better than the Texans on a neutral field. And it's no way in hell that that's a fact. So, five-star gave you 3 plays right there. Texas Longhorns +6. The Houston Texans +3. And then also, as I said, I'm rolling with the Broncos on Sunday +8.5.
All right. Correlated play. I'm taking the over in that Broncos game. I do think that Knicks will be able to have some success against Buffalo. And, you know, Buffalo, they're going to hit their team total for sure. So give me the over in the Broncos versus the Bills.
All right, guys, let's keep winning. We're going into the end of the year, the time of the year, well, the end of the season, pardon me, and the beginning of the year, time you want to stack up your money, man. Let's get started off to a great 2025. Anything for the people before we get out of Sino?
Man, appreciate everybody that's been riding with Sino, man, that's been trusting Sino through the ups and downs, man. We had a hell of a December. It was crazy. We gave a little bit back, you know, to start off the new year, but that's nothing. Still fresh in the year. We're going to keep it rolling, man. Appreciate the wage and world population. We do it for all of you guys.
Yes, sir. And anything for the people spread.
Man, I'm excited for this weekend, and hopefully we get another great game of college football tonight.
I appreciate all the guys who took part of the promotion that helped us push over 1K for subscribers. Now the goal is 2K. You know, that's the next goal for us, man. You guys keep telling your friends, telling your family that if they want to really learn about betting sports, really see the information from inside of Vegas and how the minds of real bettors work, and they need to tune into the wagering world, man. We're going to be able to do this for the underground, for the underdogs, and it's always going to be us versus the machine. For my two guys right here, Sino Royale and Spreader Stale, I'm 5-star in Vegas. As always, I dedicate this show to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan I know, and that's John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. I know he's smiling down at the Texans play that normal Saturday morning that me and him used to watch together. This is the Wagon World. See you guys on Wednesday.